Welcome to the Greer Business 360 podcast with your hosts, Bill Simmons and Rick Stroud. This podcast celebrates Greer, South Carolina, an amazing place to do business. And we also focus on the strategy and leadership you need to have a thriving and profitable business. So join us now for the Greer Business 360 podcast.
Welcome to Greer Business 360, and I'm Bill Simmons along with Rick Stroud, and we are excited today to have as our guest the marketing team from Kempton of Greenville, and that is Jennifer Donner and Denise Parsons, and they are a powerhouse marketing team. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
We're really thrilled to have you here, and you know, by name, people may not know exactly what Kempton of Greenville is all about. And obviously, we're here at Greer Business 360, and you guys are very involved in the community as a whole. But I'd love for one of you to just share a little bit what is Kempton of Greenville?
Well, Kempton of Greenville is an assisted living and memory support community. And a lot of people might not know where we are. We used to be Oakleaf Village at Greenville. So we had a new name change back in August. We were acquired by Liberty Senior Living. So that being said, some people may know us by our old name, and we are kind of right near the entrance to Thornblade off the parkway. So we love being a part of Greer. I'm sure I've seen a lot of people at the chamber events, and we just really love being a part of this city. So,
well, yeah, that's exciting, and we love seeing you guys at a lot of the networking events that the chamber and other organizations put together. So, you know, share with our audience, you know, certainly assisted living, memory support. There's a lot of conversation that I know that yeah. I would want to get in with you. Most of us have probably had that impact in our families in a major way. But I'd love to learn more about the two of you and what your roles are with the organization.
Yeah. Well, Bill, thank you for the invitation. So I'm Denise Parsons, and I am the director of marketing here. And one thing that really drew me to this community, having been here for 21 years, they've always had an excellent reputation in the community, and I've been with them now for 2.5, going into my third year, and just being able to be a part of someone's life at a difficult time, I'll bet if you look at even your personal future plan, I'll bet you don't have moving into an assisted living on your 10-year plan, and most families don't. In fact, I think we all hope. I think the country song says we all want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go today. And so with that in mind, we all want to kind of head out of here the same direction. But for some families, they do need that little bit of assistance. And the beautiful thing about assisted living, it can literally just be needing reminders of your medications. So it doesn't necessarily have to mean that you're at the very tail end and you need everything, but maybe you just need a reminder. Boy, there are days that I think, let me get a room here.
Well, I was going to say, I'm 34 years old, and I need help getting reminders every day as it is, but that's a different story.
I need that already, yeah. Too.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so I admire that you were drawn to it, because here's the way I heard that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong today, but you know, you said you've been in the community as a whole, you know, over 20 years, but you felt drawn to this place because, based on their reputation and experience. I'm always intrigued when I hear that. Like, what is it? Like, when you feel drawn to something, what are the qualities that made you feel like this is a place you wanted to make a difference?
Well, I think you'll agree with me. We all lean to things that we like. And so there's a very fine line between being called or being driven. For somebody that's been driven, I hope you keep driving right on by. If it's the paycheck, if it's the long hours that you want to be able to come and work extra, because at the end of the day, when it's a divine calling, and I do very much feel that God put me in this place to utilize my ability to listen, to be able to connect families with resources. And sometimes Kempton of Greenville might not be the ideal place for a family. And when you call the marketing team here, you're going to get the truth. We're going to recognize if your needs cannot be met here, we are going to find, we're going to do that legwork, and we're going to find that place that's going to be perfect for your family member.
Mm, that's amazing. Mm. Jennifer, how about you? Tell us a little more about your entrance into this world.
I would definitely say it was an interest. I don't know, like Denise said, it was a calling. I don't know what it was, but I just woke up one day. I came from hospitality, and I just kind of woke up and I said, you know, I think I want to work with seniors. And it just happened. I got on Indeed, and I started. I think this was actually the only place that I interviewed with, and then it just, everything fell into place. And for me, it's not only, and I know for Denise too, sometimes, which we forgot to mention, sometimes we do go by Janice. So if you slip up and just say Janice, it's kind of like a Brad and Jennifer Brennifer type thing. So if you ever call the marketing department, or if you all want to call us that, that's fine. But I think, you know, it just goes beyond marketing and talking to the families initially. We really have such a special bond with our residents, and we know everybody by name, and they definitely know us by name. It's just maybe spending an extra 5 or 10 minutes at the end of the day and stopping by and showing them a picture of my dog, or Denise, you know, has her own things, and it's really connecting with those not only the families but the residents. So it's definitely a calling, and it's fun. We have fun here too, though. We have a lot of fun. Yeah.
So and so if you get the right group together, I hear there's a lot of partying going on in these assisted living communities.
Word's gotten out.
Yeah.
They're real. We do have happy hour. So yeah, we do actually have happy hour. Yes.
We're in.
So our residents love that. I think that's one of their favorite days. But we have our happy hour on Mondays, which is a different, sometimes on Fridays too. And, you know, we've had some brunches as well with mimosas. We had an Easter brunch, and it was fun. We do have a lot of fun. Yeah.
And I know a lot of people tend to try to plan those fun things on Fridays, but around here we need a happy hour on a Monday.
Yeah.
We get that week started the right way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not hating on the idea. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's right.
True statement. Yep.
I'd love to hear a little bit more about the people that you're serving and the needs that you're serving. Like, when is the right time for a family to reach out to you?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I have found that usually the average family, by the time they make the call, they probably should have called maybe 6 months before. The sooner you call, the more you're in control of how that's going to look. Typically, unfortunately, we've had a lot of calls, even recently because of COVID, that these are families that have really tried to keep mom or dad at home, safe at home, try to keep them, you know, isolated as much as possible to keep them free and safe from COVID. But at the same token, recognizing that their isolation has really now affected them mentally. And so families are typically calling us in a little bit of a crisis. You know, it's so much easier if you can be proactive rather than reactive. And so that's one of the phrases that Jennifer and I use regularly. When a family calls and we talk about a time frame, what really determines the time frame is the current living situation. If things are going okay and everyone in the home are able to do their part, but a lot of times, I'm sure you probably have even felt this in your family, there's usually one, I don't know if it's self-appointed or family-appointed, family member that takes on the health care needs of a family, of an aging senior. I'm that family member in my family. I have a brother and a sister, but I am that family member that when it was time for my parents and they needed something, I was the one that stepped up. My parents lived with me. My father passed on hospice. I'm that one that will get the services that are necessary. And so a lot of times families will say, I've got a whole family of support, but at the end of the day, there's usually just one caregiver doing everything.
Yeah, I we've seen that personally, and I know I want Rick to get involved in this conversation, but you know, my mother is, you know, in her senior years. She's the oldest of eight, and my dad is the second of six. So you're 14, you know, between my parents and aunts and uncles. And so when this season of life has started, as you can imagine, you know, grief is right around the corner, right? With somebody else that you're losing. And we have just certain family members that, you know, are the guardian angels that have stepped in and not only been there for one, but seems to be there for everybody. And I think that's a gift to a family.
Well, after you've gone through it, you've gathered all that information. You've now become the family expert. And so why not utilize that for every family member that needs it? Because you've already done your due diligence. You have experience now. And so it makes sense why that one family member does tend to kind of carry over those resources for each one.
Hmm. What's the hardest part of you guys' role?
That's a good question.
I think for me, my hardest part is helping that family understand and trust that we have everything in place. Now, we never, ever promise that it's perfect. Judy Garland or Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz does not live here. We all know there's no place like home. But we are committed. Our leadership team has been together for about 3 years. We are committed. So if we stumble and we make a mistake, we are going to bring that forward as a team. We're going to talk it through. We're going to implement processes so that we make sure that it doesn't happen again. And we always keep the family informed. We're very, very good about keeping the communication open.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Do you have anything to add to that, Jennifer?
Yeah, I would also say, for me, one of the hardest things is staying out of the kitchen because we have so many good desserts and candy. Everybody has candy in their office.
Right.
Yeah. On a lighter note.
That's my favorite answer in the history of this podcast.
Right?
The hardest candy is to stay out of the kitchen.
Stay out of the kitchen.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You have some good food.
There's a lot in that.
Kempton is like one of several facilities that your parent company operates in the Southeast, right? I mean, so it's not just this one little spot. Y'all got all these resources from, you know, all these companies that are working, doing the same stuff, learning from each other. What does that look like? How does your interaction with those companies look?
Yeah, we have a lot of interaction with the other companies. So even if they're not a Kempton, they may have a different name, but they're under that Liberty Senior Living umbrella. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of support from our home office there in Wilmington, North Carolina. So they come visit us often in person. They're a short drive away. And we have, monthly calls that are supportive of other communities, how they're working, logistics. It's really a great, and I think we're all meeting in person soon in June, which is exciting, so long as most of us have been vaccinated. So things are kind of hopefully getting back to normal for us and the residents, which is amazing. But yeah, we have so much support from our home office. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. You know, one thing that Jennifer and I we're always reminding one another, Liberty Senior Living is a family owned operation and that family support is really felt. They have 145 total years of experience caring for seniors. And that's from various aspects, hospice, home health, independent living, of course, and assisted living, and then also skilled facility. Yeah. So that continuum of care is available, and our policies and procedures are similar pertaining to our specialty.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Now, at your facility itself, you know, assisted living, memory care, those are big words. What really goes on underneath those labels? What really is assisted living and memory care?
That's a great question. I guess I could explain the assisted living side, and Denise, I'll let you cover the, yeah, even though we both work in both and love both, and I know sure. our hearts are in memory support particularly, but on our assisted living side, so it's actually just kind of everybody has their own apartment, which is awesome, with a little kitchenette, but they really don't use it that much because we do have a kitchen with three meals included. We have fun activities. There's an activities calendar. We kind of like to call it, one analogy that we've used is a cruise for seniors. So there's a lot of fun stuff going on. There's also the care as well. So like Denise had mentioned earlier, whether it's just medication, help with medications, being administered, or if it's, you know, bathing assistance, and so on. So we really do have, and I think Denise also kind of touched on this earlier, different levels of care in our assisted living. So, you know, different people have more needs than others. And we, I think, really pride ourselves on the ability to, and of course, the nursing staff and our director of nursing to come up with a specific, and our executive director, a specific care plan for each resident. And I'm sure I'm missing something. Denise, do you want to?
Well, I was thinking while you're talking, like you mentioned, our memory support unit is really our favorite spot in the building. Mm-hmm. If we just need to remember why we do what we do, we just take we mosey on over to the neighborhood is what we refer to it. And in the neighborhood, we can have up to 24 residents, and the care is very much curtailed to the need. And in the neighborhood, much like the song from Cheers, everybody wants to go where everybody knows your name. That's exactly what we do over there. Everyone is familiar. Our residents know us. Nothing steps in front of the needs of the residents. And so even if we are on our way to a fire drill, we better stop and chat and talk and just take that moment to get to know that resident or to share a thought with each of them, entering their reality, whatever the reality. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Speaking of reality, this is part of our...
but entering their reality, and for some, we do have a gentleman that is, I think he's self-appointed security, but he keeps watch over the building. And so in his wheelchair, he rides through the building, making sure that everyone is safe. We thank him for that security. We recognize that we couldn't do it without him. I will tell you that he can be a little friendly in his approach. I have only been called the dingling once. I think I walked through and I had something on my mind and I didn't take a moment. And he said, look at that dingling. It brought me back to reality. I am here for him. He is the reason we're here. And so it means a lot to us. I am a certified dementia practitioner. And so I understand that importance of making the most of every moment and stopping for that resident. They don't understand deadlines. They don't understand somebody waiting on the phone. Their need is right now, and please help me address it.
Well, I've got so many questions for follow-up for that. I know Rick does. You know, first of all, I'm very curious. You mentioned the neighborhood and 24. What is the capacity of your facility? How many do live at this center?
We are licensed for 90, according to DHEC, with that being 66 in assisted living and 24 at the maximum in our memory support unit.
Gotcha. That was just a loose end in my head. I was just curious about how many were there. But talk to me, you know, and again, I appreciate both of you. I could tell right away when you start talking about the two sides, assisted living versus memory care, that memory care had a big part of your heart. I could tell that right away. And, you know, your background as well in assisting that. When is the right time for a family to seek help when it comes to memory care? Because it may not be at the assisted living level yet, but, you know, how do we help those we love, and when is the right time?
Especially in memory care, what I have found is that, first of all, usually a family member that's been diagnosed has identified someone that's going to make the tough decisions for them when they're not able. A lot of times it's a child, it's one of their children, it's a spouse. They've appointed someone. That's so critical. I know the Alzheimer's Association really talks about that, making sure you're getting legally things in place so when you can't make decisions. Now, having said that, that's a hard decision for someone's daughter to make for mom. Well, what's wrong with me living here? Why can't I stay? So first and foremost, when it's time to think about moving is when mom's not safe. If she gets a little confused and wants to go outside, and even after you've asked her to not go outside, she still goes outside. We all know when we hear that silver alert from the Amber Alert that a senior is missing, it stops me in my tracks. If it's in my neighborhood, my husband knows that we're going to go drive up and down the streets because not all of them have good endings. And so that's the first and foremost, if they're not safe. And then a lot of times I've seen an awful lot, if mom has moved in, that the daughter and her husband begin feeling that pressure. They're talking about that sandwich generation, right smack dab in the middle. And so here's mom and dad, and then that sandwich generation, and then they have small children. And so now you're bringing in all new problems. And that couple really need to protect their marriage. They need to protect their child they're raising. And so they, rather than looking at it as we've got to put mom in a place, they really do have to think for the sake of everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it can be so many little signs to Denise, besides, you know, even before it gets, and I know you're more of an expert on it than I am, but even before it gets to wandering, if it ever does get to wandering, you know, out to it and getting lost, it can be, you know, maybe not bathing and little signs like that. So, yeah.
So is the facility, you actually have the assisted living in on the memory care, is that an outpatient as well, or is it only for people who are on the campus there?
It is strictly for residents.
Got it.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
So once someone with memory issues comes in and gets through the shock of being in a new place, do you really see, and once they're around other people, do you see them feeling better, you know, more engaged when, because our family has went through some of that recently, and the stress that goes along with all that, and about, you know, what to do, the family member doesn't believe there's a problem. Everyone else obviously knows that there is. Once they make the transition, do you see them get, I don't use the word better, but does their outlook and their engagement improve after they make that step?
That's a great question, Rick. Yes, yes, yes. Now, I will tell you that Dr. Aloy Alzheimer's said it and probably was the first to say it, but that when you see one case of Alzheimer's disease, that's all you see. It's just that one case. Every case is different. Every situation is different. But typically, our experience has been, once we get past that initial shock of where's my daughter, why hasn't she come, even if they just were there 5 minutes ago, we help keep them. We answer those questions for them. We help them. We help get them engaged. We seat them at mealtimes with someone that would be maybe somewhere where they are in the disease process, so their communication is similar. Mm-hmm. Maybe even sitting with them for activities. We pair them so that they don't feel alone. And I will tell you that more often than not, and it's going to take, it takes a good 30 days and sometimes 60 or 90, but there is a marked difference, because all of a sudden, once they've settled down, they recognize this is a safe place. I am safe. And even families will come and pick them up and take them out. You know, if we want to go for lunch, a lot of times the resident does not want to leave. They know they're safe. And that's really what it boils down to, their safety. Now here at Kempton, something that we do that's a little different than other communities. I know everybody does something a little different, but we recognize their memory is the strongest from a lot of times from when they were either in school or when they were working. So it's really important that we do that background and we find out what they used to like to do. It's very important if we know that they were very bashful when they were younger, or were they outgoing? I can tell you right now, sign me up for every sing-along and bingo, because I love to talk and I love to sing. And it doesn't even matter if somebody tells me I don't sing well, and I've been told that on many occasions. But the point is, that's the love of my life. And so we connect them with things they love. And, you know, recently we've had such a wonderful success story with two residents that moved in right around the same time. They connected very quickly. They sit together. They eat together. They look out for one another because they both moved in and around about the same time. And when their spouses come to visit, they want that person sitting with them. This is my new friend. I mean, it's beautiful. So I hope, Rick, if you've actually ever gone through this, that you have a similar story, or just give it time, because it will connect if you're at the right place.
I love the point of understanding their past and being able to talk to them about that. Because I've, you know, whether we've seen people out or, you know, meet folks on the street that that are elderly, that's what they do talk about, is they bring up things that were, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And it, to them, you know, maybe it seems like yesterday, or maybe that's just the fun times that that they're able to bring back. But that's a fantastic point. I appreciate y'all bringing that up.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a sense of service, I think, in our community in Greer that I really appreciate. And, that, you know, people are finding ways to give back to the community. And I know this there, you know, for your facility, you know, it's owned by, you know, an umbrella company. But, you know, there may be people out here that are listening today that really have a heart for seniors that are in this need for assistance and or memory care. Are there ways within Kempton that people can serve and volunteer the community, or are there other ways outside of Kempton that you would recommend?
Oh, always ways to give it to any community, especially ones with a memory unit. Here at Kempton, we have a professor, we have a homemaker, residents in our community, in our memory support. We have someone that worked the farm their whole life. And to be able to sit down with someone with that basic knowledge, maybe even go, we've got a little raised garden area, do some farming with them, and to feel that soil in their hand, have that moment of reminiscence where they're, do you remember when you used to help on the farm? Was dad there with you? Was dad a good boss? Did he holler at you all the time? And I mean, just bringing up those memories, and the smile on your face, Bill, is just remarkable, because you're just hearing those questions, causing you to think back. Well, that's the same with our residents, bringing up those good, fond memories. And occasionally we will bring up some hard ones, but sometimes we have to stop in that moment, in that very lucid moment, and allow them to walk through that memory and then be able to offer them some, you know, even just an arm around your shoulder to say, I'm so glad you made it. I'm so glad you're still here. And those are great opportunities for people in the community. It does not take a college degree. It just takes a willing heart. And maybe you sing like me, just coming over and saying, I know all those old songs. Come, let me sing with you. You know, if somebody can play the piano, we can all sing along. It's amazing what music does.
I'd probably be the best thing. I'd be the best sing along the parkway. I will tell you that right now. So, yeah, I know we have to land the plane, and I'd love our audience to get to know you guys a little bit better. And today's a different topic. You know, we really talked about the this generation that we love so much. You know, I don't really want to get emotional on here, but it's been an emotional past week for us. I mentioned earlier my parents, you know, were 2 of 14. So I had 12, you know, first aunts and uncles, right? And so you get, you know, our family was so big, you had to talk about, you know, second aunts and uncles, right? So they just, everybody combined back in those days. But, you know, losing my aunt last week brought back amazing memories for me. And unfortunately, her memory, the recognition of her memory loss was diagnosed, and she didn't really last very long after that. It was just a few months because of some other issues. And so this is really prevalent to us right now as a family. And for me, you know, I'll just be honest with you guys. I am grateful for you two that you and your organization are caring for this generation in such a but not only a humbling, but a dignified way. Like I'm big on how do we respect those who have gone before us and how do we provide them dignity in their later years? Like for my parents, that's all I want. I just want them to be treated with dignity at the end. And so thank you for what you do for so many families. I know they tell you that in their grief, but let me tell you that and our hope for this generation.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You are listening to the Greer Business 360 podcast, and we'll be right back. The Greer Business 360 podcast is powered by the Thrive Tribe entrepreneurial community. If you would like to work directly with the team at Thrive Business Strategies to make a bigger impact, get more clients, and make more money, visit www.mythrivestrategies.com. Let's get back to business on the Greer Business 360 podcast with your hosts, Bill and Rick.
So if somebody in our audience wanted to reach out to you guys, what would be the best way to do that?
Wow, there's so many different ways. They can just call. I mean, they can call, they can email. I think, what do you think, Denise?
Call or email? Call is going to be the best way.
Probably the easiest to remember.
Well, they can find you. An easy Google search, Kempton of Greenville, right off the parkway, serving a lot of Greer. Or just come to one of the chamber networking events, and you're going to see who there as well. You know, I know this has been a kind of a serious topic, but one of the things we love to do at the end of our call or our conversations is to do a little rapid fire question. You've done so well letting us know about Kempton. Can we end it knowing about you two? And we just throw out a couple of rapid fire questions and see where you two are either in agreement or where your two are different. Because, you know,
I like it.
It's Jennifer and Denise. But together, it's Jennifer or Janice. I totally messed that up. Together, it's Janice. Yeah. All right. So, here we go. All right. So, how about this? So, when you guys settle for the evening and you're trying to have some comfort food, is it cereal or ice cream?
Cereal.
Cereal.
Subjective. Depends on the night. I can't.
Oh, really?
I fluctuate between the two.
Oh, wow.
They're both delicious.
All right.
I would agree. Yeah.
They're cereal. Okay. What's your favorite day of the week?
They already told us Mondays. Happy Hour Mondays.
Happy Power Mondays.
Yeah.
Happy Hour Mondays. I have to tell you, my favorite day of the week is Hump Day.
I got a feeling that you're dangerous at happy hour. I think.
Right?
I don't even date any.
Yeah, we're not allowed. We're not allowed the alcoholic drinks here.
All right. So when you get to, if you're heading to the coast, are you going to Myrtle Beach or Charleston?
Charleston.
I guess my natural, I would probably say Myrtle Beach.
But I do like Myrtle too. So again, gosh, like I think we're just agreeing with everything.
I think you're trying to compromise. I think there was a difference there. I think there was one Charleston and one Myrtle Beach. So I think that's okay.
Okay.
One month they do Myrtle Beach. Charleston. Next month they do Charleston.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. What's your favorite music style?
I like rap. That's my favorite.
I do like rap, but I'm going to have to tell you, my all-time favorite is Big Band.
Big Band.
I love this generation's music.
Are you going to
get the generation we serve, and it's good.
You know, Bublé is going to be here at the Bon Secours Arena. You know, he's kind of that young Big Band feel. I don't know if you got tickets.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Oh.
All right. So do you prefer books or podcasts?
But I like both.
I'm books. I tried the podcast. That's not true. You know what? When we travel, I'm a podcast all the way. Okay. So it's probably both.
Yeah, I would say both. It depends on
clarity, is your favorite new podcast, Greer Business 360? I'm just asking for a friend.
Absolutely.
100%. Yeah, 100%.
All right. Yeah, guys, thank you for being with us today. This has been a enjoyable conversation. It's been a serious one at moments because I think of the way we love our seniors and our family members. This is an important episode today. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys did great. We appreciate y'all very much.
The Greer Business 360 podcast is sponsored by Great Homes of the Upstate, a residential real estate brokerage located here in Greer. Rick and his team of realtors serve those looking to buy or sell a home in Greer and the surrounding communities. You can connect with Rick or search through thousands of available homes for sale on the web at findyourupstatehome.com. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Greer Business 360 podcast. For more episodes and to subscribe, rate, and review us, head over to iTunes or your favorite podcast service. You can also learn more about us on Facebook at Greer Business 360 or on the web at greerbusiness360.com.